Let's get together, talk about the movies that we saw this week. We'll have discussions, talk film news, we'll laugh a lot and act like geeks. Sometimes we'll have a guest or two, sometimes it's just the two of us. Let's crack some jokes and tell some folks to come along and hang with us!
Mike and Mike go to the movies. Mike and Mike go to the movies.
Yeah!
You have chosen wisely.
You have part of my attention. You have the minimum amount. The rest of my attention is back at the offices of Mike and Mike Go to the Movies, where Mike Ho-Host and I are doing things that no one in this room, including and especially your clients, are intellectually or creatively capable of doing. Did I adequately answer your condescending question? Yes, it's Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. I'm Mike Smith, and joining me, as always, is a man who you probably won't be able to find on Mastodon.
Mike DiCuccio.
How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great. I feel like the first time Mastodon went around as a replacement for Twitter... years ago, I went and made an account, and I don't
really
know if that exists anymore. Yeah, because that's been around for a while as a thing, like people being like, well, when Twitter dies,
interesting.
And then people were like, why would we change platforms? This was years ago. And now we're like, we need a new platform.
Right.
But yeah, you probably can't find me, long story short.
Fair enough. I had no idea Mastodon existed until about a week or two ago when people were like, we got to log on to Mastodon. And then people tried to log on to Mastodon, and it turns out it's incredibly unuser-friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like very siloed and specific and weird.
Yeah, you need to learn how servers work if you want to use it, basically.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so it doesn't sound like that one. That one might not take off the way people thought it was going to. It sounds like Hive, maybe, but that also seems like one where it's like, isn't it like two guys in a garage who like run it? Is that?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's a very small team, and the Android version is a beta, so like, fuck that. I'm not going to sign up for a beta version of an app. So I don't know, whatever. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe there will just be nothing. Maybe we'll...
possibly
float into the abyss and never look back on the horribleness that was everything that happened over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it'll just be the sound of wind blowing for the rest of eternity.
That's our new social media, is the sound of wind blowing.
Yes, correct.
I'm not against it. It sounds pretty good. Yes, it is Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. How are you doing today, Mike?
Well, I'm doing just great, other than now pondering the inevitable like internet caused singularity death of the world. How are you?
Right. I'm great. Good stuff. Good stuff. And we're talking about the internet today because of that. Basically, we mentioned this last week in our episode where our 5-minute kind of update that said, whoops, we forgot to record an episode.
Yep. Sometimes it happens.
Sometimes that happens. Yeah. So we mentioned this last week in that kind of little update that this week we're going to be doing Let's Rank Internet Movies, movies about the internet, which we realize is a pretty broad category that could include many, many different kinds of movies.
Yes.
But the reason we kind of brought that up as a subject is because of the last few weeks, you may have heard the news that Elon Musk bought Twitter for $44 billion and is doing everything in his power to burn it to the ground, it seems like. It has been quite a ride to see,
yeah,
see this go down.
There was a lot of, I don't know if you saw this, there was some leaked text messages from him and some people, I forget exactly who, from the beginning of this year, where at least a few of them are just like, yo, you should burn Twitter or buy Twitter and then delete it. And it kind of seems like he's doing that. So I don't really know how that works, like legally speaking, but what an absolute clusterfuck it's been. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really wild to watch. And you've seen like, stories about, half of Twitter's staff gets laid off and then like 45% of them get rehired because he realized that they do jobs, just like weird shit like that, where it's like, suddenly their login credentials don't work or like, just crazy stuff. And there was like a few moments. There was like one night, a couple nights ago, where it seemed like this might be gone by tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like this might have burned down.
My favorite of those was the people that, I guess they closed the offices and were like, nobody come back for the next week or two or whatever it was. And, turned off everybody's key card access.
Yes.
And locked people in because they couldn't use their key cards to open the gate on the garage to drive out, which is hilarious. So, one of the great minds of our time, in big old air quotes on that. It's the only thing this really does is make the moments in Moonfall even more awkward than they already were.
Ones that are like, it was like Sam from Game of Thrones is like a conspiracy theorist who like idolizes Elon Musk or something. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's just like, what would Elon do a couple times? And they're like, thanks to our friends at SpaceX. And they fucking wink at the camera like it's Wayne's World.
Right.
So it just makes those moments stand out more, you know?
That said, Moonfall, good movie.
Fun great time. Movie. Great movie, yeah. Great movie.
What if the moon fell? So over the last few weeks, it's been kind of insane to watch Elon Musk's weird Twitter insane shenanigans that have been happening. And so as a result, kind of got us reflective on the internet in cinema. You know, I would say, I mean, I think we were talking about it last week and kind of trying to figure out what this week's episode was going to be. And that came up and we were like, well, what if we made a let's rank list about social media, like social media movies or like screen share movies or something like that. And then that was, I think we're both like, that's like a really narrow list of movies.
Yeah. It's going to be the same five movies.
Exactly. So I think we like expand it to movies about the internet, or movies in which the internet plays like a really significant role, which I think would be like most movies made after like 1995.
Right.
You know, including stuff like The Net.
That movie rocks, I think.
I have not seen it. It's been on Netflix for a while, and every time I'm like, maybe this is the time.
I've seen it a lot, but I'd not really? Yeah, it was one of those TNT specials, you know, one of those kind of movies. But I haven't watched it in probably 15 years, so I don't really remember anything about it, but I remember really liking it at the time.
Okay. It's probably hilariously outdated at the moment. Yeah. And it's probably one of those things where it's like, this isn't actually how the internet works.
Yeah.
You know? You can't just enhance an image by saying enhance and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so that's what we're going to do today. We're ranking internet movies. We each created a top five list of, I'm not going to say our favorite internet movies of all time, but I'm just going to say like, hey, five internet movies you should watch, right?
Yeah, and maybe I forgot specifically internet and thought computer.
Okay, hey, you know what? The internet is on computers, Mike, so I think it counts.
It's in the Zoolander is on my list. There it is. Boom.
You say Zoolander is on your list?
Yeah, I'm kidding, because the files are in the computer.
Ah, yes. Oh, you see, they have internet on computers now.
I skipped a step in the joke and went straight to the end.
Yes. Fair enough. That seems par for the course with this podcast.
Yes.
Right? And also par for the course for Twitter. So there you go. All right. So I think we're going to do it. Let's rank internet movies. First, got to tell you that all the theme songs you're going to hear this episode were created by Kyle Cullen, who you can reach for your own theme songs at kylespodcastthemes@gmail.com. Our logo was designed by Mac V, whose art you can find, at least for now, at Fearless Guard on Twitter. And if you ever want to contact us or respond to someone who did the show, you can tweet at us.
For now.
At Mike and MikePod. For now. Asterisk. I mean, that's also the thing where it's like Twitter has been my preferred social media platform for about 10 years now or something like that. You know, I'm always a very late adopter to these kind of things. Like I got Facebook years after my friends did. I got Instagram years after my friends did. Snapchat, I got years after my friends did.
Yep.
And, you know, I use those every once in a while, maybe a little bit here and there. But Twitter I'm on pretty much every day. And, you know, as just like a text-based information sort of system, it's pretty nice. It's a hellscape for a lot of other reasons, but like, I'll miss it if it's gone. You know, I actually will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been on Twitter probably since it started. I don't know exactly when it launched. I should look. I want to guess 2008 maybe is when I started my Twitter account.
Yeah. And you used to have a different Twitter account. I remember that.
Yeah. Like my very first, my actual first Twitter account that I had for a very long time. And then I had it locked and was going to, and made this one. At MD Film Blog to use for the show, I guess in 2015. And then I was just like, I don't use this other one anymore. What's the point? So I got rid of that. But yeah, I used to be on Plurk. Do you remember Plurk? You ever hear of that?
Is that that's just a random word, assortment of letters. That's not... so
what is Twitter if not a random...
This is true.
How do you think internet websites? But yeah,
that was like what I was reading about Mastodon. It's like, and you can send a twoke to go out to like the flarps or whatever. Like,
yeah, it's just that schleem of the fake infomercial from Rick and Morty.
Tim and Eric. The schlang.
I forgot about that from Tim and Eric. You're right.
Right. Yeah.
Shrimp. Is that what it was? Shrimp?
I think schlang is the schlang super seed.
Yes, you're right.
We were talking about the plumbus. The plumbus.
The plumbus. That's it. That's the one. Anyway, Plurk was like the competitor. It was Plurk and Twitter that were like launched around the same time. And I was still in high school. And I remember those were the two things, like which is going to be the one. And then Twitter won because it was like better. And you could text. You could use Twitter via text.
Right.
And Plurky had to like log on to the actual website. Remember yes, text message?
Because that was like pre-smartphone, or like maybe smartphones had just come out. But yeah, when I first had Twitter, I would like send out like a text, like you would tweet like or text like a 5-digit number.
Yeah, 40404. That's the one, baby.
Yeah, and you would text that, and that would be your tweet. And crazy that existed.
Crazy that was 2006 it launched, it looks like. So it was a year or two later when I got on there. And yeah, I mean, but so that's, you know, 12 years. I've had it almost the entire time. It's crazy. So I will be sad when it goes away, if it goes away, or at least in its current form, dies, whatever, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's weird to like sort of grieve and mourn a internet space that doesn't exist in the real world, you know.
Right.
Like, it's not like a bar, like, you know, our favorite bar closed where we all hung out.
Yes.
But it's kind of like the emotional equivalent of that.
A little bit, yeah. And it's also weird because there's so much negative stuff around Twitter too, all the negative things that's brought into the world. But that's every social media site, so it's like, whatever. Yeah.
It's mostly the Nazis' fault.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. But if Twitter is going to go out, this seems like a really weird fitting way for it to go out, like just to be taken over by a maniacal billionaire and just dismantled from the inside out. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But
this is basically, now that I'm thinking about it, the plot of Tomorrow Never Dies,
which is my number one internet movie.
I think the internet's part of it. I think that's part of all that.
Sure,
I don't remember that movie. But yeah, it's basically the plot. Some, you know, evil billionaire mega guy took over all of the media and you get it.
Yeah.
And
it's
like deliberately tanking it
yes.
because people were mean to him one time. You know?
Right. And that's basically what's happening here with Elon Musk. Hopefully, I mean, he just like sells it for pennies in the dollar, because I feel like that might just be what happens. I think he's just going to have to lose $44 billion or more based on this, based on like the disaster that it's been over the last month or so. But I saw someone compare it on Twitter to Elmer Fudd buying a website that's full of Bugs Bunnies.
Oh my God.
Just constantly dunking on him and making fun of him, and it's just funny stuff. But at least there's been some funny tweets out of it, you know.
Yeah, at least we'll go down laughing a little bit.
Exactly. All right, so let's get into it, Mike. It's time to rank internet movies. Pick out some movies and rank them all. All right, here we go. We're ranking internet movies, movies about the internet. And like I said, it's a broad category. This can really be almost any movie if you stretch it long and hard enough.
Yeah.
Post-1995. So, Mike, here we go. What is your number 5 internet movie of all time?
This is a movie that I've heard about for a few years, and I've had been meaning to watch it, and I never got around to it. And since we're sort of on the topic of the kind of the dark side, the horrors that can be unleashed in the internet, via the internet, I'm going to talk about 2018's Cam.
I slit my throat last night.
Holy shit.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
She's texting a boy.
Alice.
I'm going to tell her.
My rank needs to be better. I'm like this poster breaking top 50. I can taste it.
Support, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm locked out of my account, and I think you guys are just replaying an old show or something.
I don't think that's possible. We can't do that.
Okay, well, does it say my channel's live?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, we have a new friend.
That person is not me.
She looks exactly like you.
Weird.
Who is she?
Unexpected things happen to test us. It isn't safe.
What is it?
I've watched enough to guess who it'll choose, but I don't know what it is.
You stole my face, and now I'm going to get it back.
You stole my face, and now I'm going to get it back.
Okay.
Which is a about a cam girl that is like, you know, grinding, doing the hustle on one of those, you know, webcam stripper sites, and is trying to like climb up the ranks. It's the first like half hour or so is like kind of just like a slice of life drama about her and her friends that are coworkers, I guess, you know, if you could say, and just kind of navigating that life, when to tell her parents or her mom and her brother knows, and just like the family life and like the day to day, how you always have to be on in order to succeed in that kind of like set line of sex work. And like,
right.
You take a day off, your ranking falls, and kind of stuff like that. And then one day she tries to log into her account on the website, and it tells her that like that email doesn't exist, and she's like, can't figure it out. And she notices that her channel is live, and she goes to the channel and there's her performing a live cam show while she's in bed on her laptop trying to get on her cam show. Can't what's going on?
Right.
And it seems like someone has taken her identity, her image, and is leading like a false life with her and doing all these very extreme shows that she would never do and all this crazy shit, breaking her rules that she has with for herself and her channel, and climbing the ranks faster and faster and faster with the more extreme shit she's doing. And it just kind of unravels into this kind of like, you know, paranoia thriller about who this conspiracy of who's copying her and who is that person, and is some of her fans, like her loyal fans that she like has a little bit more of a personal relationship with, and that whole parasocial thing, are they behind this or what's going on? And it becomes like a really, I think, compelling and like very anxious, terrifying like paranoia story about that, and like the monster that can be unleashed with the internet, and how you never own any of the stuff you post, and all this shit about your image and your privacy and your data and all this stuff, all wrapped up into this 90-minute like sleek, sexy, stylish horror movie. This movie rocked. I had a real fun time watching it.
Nice. Yeah, I also like Cam. I have it as an honorable mention, actually. Yeah. For my list. I watched it a couple years ago, really enjoyed it, thought it was like really interesting, and like kind of explored a world that hasn't really been explored on film all that much before. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing about it too. And yeah, this was, I believe, a Netflix original. And so I think for that reason, the movie has kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit for a lot of people. Like maybe people have kind of missed this one because Netflix produces so many movies and so many of them are bad. And so for something like Cam, which like is actually pretty good and like actually like kind of delves into this more interesting kind of subculture, you know, it deserves a wider audience, I think. And so people should check out Cam, which is on Netflix.
Yeah. It definitely was one that I think maybe just because I've sort of like in the horror circles, like on Twitter, which, you know, that's going to go away, I guess, if that ever goes away.
Right.
We'll just be left with just the podcast for recommendations, which is pretty neat. But yeah, I think that was kind of really the only reason I was aware of it. And it's been 2 years or whatever, and I haven't really heard any, or 4 years, I guess now. And I haven't heard anything about it recently. It's just been in my, like, on my list. For like Netflix always happens, for years, and I was finally like, oh, here's an excuse.
Yeah,
let me go back and push play.
I have movies on my Netflix watch list that I've had in there since I got Netflix in like 2009.
Since they added watch lists.
Since basically, yeah, and you know, a lot of times like you'll put a movie in, and like if the movie leaves Netflix, it'll be removed from your list. But if it comes back to Netflix, it gets put back in your list. Right. And so I think I've had, I think I've mentioned this before, the racing documentary Senna on my list since like 2011. Because at the time I had heard good things about it, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll check that out at some point. Still in my list. And at this point I'm like, I'm not going to watch this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's good, I guess, but I'm like, I'm not that into racing. I don't know that much about it. And it's like, there's just no situation where I'm going to watch this, but it's got to stay in the list.
Just for effect.
Exactly. All right. So Cam is your number 5 internet movie of all time. And then my number 5 is actually also from 2018, Mike. And this is a movie that was not on Netflix. This was in theaters. I saw it in theaters. It's a movie directed by Anish Shiganti, and it's called Searching.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, sweetheart. Where are you?
Study group. I'm gonna go all night.
Oh, one more thing. I want to know about the final you took today.
Faster. Yes. I'm Margot. I'm 15. Student.
911, what's your emergency?
I'm calling to report a missing person.
Okay, who is this regarding?
My daughter.
I'm the detective assigned to your daughter's case. I need to know how everything unfolded.
Understood.
I think we're gonna go late, like, all night.
One, after a study session, Margot didn't return home.
Margot Kim, school has her marked as absent today.
Two, she didn't attend school on Friday.
My daughter is in a lesson with you right now.
Margot canceled her classes 6 months ago.
And three, she's been transferring funds for the last 6 months. We'll handle the ground investigation, but as a parent, you can help us with who your daughter talks to. Is that something you can do?
Yes.
And have you seen Searching, Mike?
I have not, but I've heard this is the best one of these movies.
Yes. So this is a, I think they're called Screen Life movies or Screen Share movies or whatever it is. But basically, this is like, this is a movement that was sort of produced by Timur Bekmambetov, who's the director of Wanted back in the day, and Abraham Lincoln.
The Curve the Bullets Wanted?
The Curve the Bullets Wanted, yeah.
Whoa.
Which movie I kind of liked at the time.
I kind of liked that movie too, yeah.
It was pretty good. I feel like it was kind of like derided at the time, and I was like 15 years old, and it's like, Angelina Jolie is shooting bullets like sideways. This is crazy.
I mean,
Chris Pratt threw a keyboard that said, fuck you. What yeah. cinema? You know? But yeah, Timur Bekmambetov directed Wanted and produced the Unfriended movies, which were kind of among the first to really kind of take this format. But essentially, it's a movie that takes place entirely on a computer screen. And I think with Searching, I want to say like 90% of it is on a computer screen. And like I think it turns into a more conventional movie in the last like 15, 20 minutes or something like that. But essentially what Searching is about, John Cho plays this father whose daughter has gone missing and the police are no help in trying to find her. Like they're trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out, but like they have no leads. They don't know what to do. And so John Cho ends up finding a lead like through his daughter's social media profiles and then starts looking through her Facebook, starts looking through her Instagram, and like kind of starts to piece together the last couple of days of where his daughter has been, like, you know, before she disappeared, and is figuring out the mystery entirely through surfing her social media and contacting people that way. And so it's all told through that one computer screen that John Cho is in. And John Cho, I mean, carries this movie almost entirely by himself because it's mostly just him that you're watching. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I think this movie does a really good job of like showing the variety and like different uses of the internet that there are, and the amount of different things that you can do with it, and kind of utilizing the tools that you use every day to solve a mystery. And I think that's a pretty cool thing that this movie does. So yeah, Searching is very good. And actually there's a sequel coming out in January, which is called Missing. And I believe it's, I don't think it's the same characters. I think it's just a different mystery that just takes the same format basically.
Mm.
And then it's also apparently it's also sort of a sequel to the movie Run, which was not a screen share movie that was on Hulu a couple years ago with Sarah Paulson, which I saw, and I guess it's sort of related. I don't know. It's also about a missing kid.
It's a secret Venom prequel.
It's a secret Venom prequel, exactly. but yeah, so Missing is coming out pretty soon. I'm looking forward to checking that out. But Searching is a really solid mystery, and I think a really cool and innovative use of this format.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, does it become like FaceTime cell phone stuff at the end where you said it becomes like a more conventional movie, or what's the... No,
I think it's actually... I mean, it's been a couple years since I've seen it, so I'm trying to remember, but I think it actually just becomes like a more conventional thing. No. I think I want to say like there's a moment where he like figures out who it is and goes to confront the guy, and at that point he like leaves his house, and then it just becomes a straight like thriller after
Got it.
That.
Interesting, yeah.
Which I like that the movie has like the courage to do that instead of being like, well, we're supposed to be a Screen Life movie, so we got to stick around with this format the entire time.
Yeah,
you know, instead of just being like, you know, we're done with this now. We can just be like, let's end the movie and we can do it. can wrap this up.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I was just wondering now, like, because I know when I can't remember when Unfriended came out, which I feel like is sort of the first one, quote unquote, of these type of deals.
Unfriended was 2014, I think.
So, but even between then and now, like we've become so much more like mobile that
sure,
like I could see these things, movies like using that, like going from desktop to phone and stuff like that.
Sure. And
which
I'm
Kimmy
sure
sort of probably does that a little bit.
Yeah, Kimmy kind of does that too, which I don't know if Kimmy's on your list, but I have it as an honorable mention on mine.
Oh, no, I actually didn't think of Kimmy until right now.
Okay, fair enough.
It's an honorable mention. We'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, Kimmy is a more traditionally filmed thing. I don't think it's even shot on an iPhone like Soderbergh likes to do. I think it's actually shot. But obviously, the internet plays a big part in that movie, too.
True.
But there you go. So Searching, number five for me from 2018. Mike, what is your number four?
So my number four movie is maybe a little outside the realm of our internet, you know, conceit, because I kind of forgot about that. I thought we were just doing, like, computer movies.
Okay. They're going to say, like, The Witch or something.
The Witch, yeah. Just pre-internet, pre-computers.
We cannot understand the internet until we understand the times before the internet.
Yes, before there were vibes, or when it was only vibes.
Exactly.
No, so it's a little more, less internet-based, more technology-based. Because what is, you know, a robot if not a computer that can walk? So I'm going with 2014's Ex Machina.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I forgot we were specifying internet. I was just thinking like technology, computer stuff.
Sure.
And yeah, this movie, I mean, I don't think I really needed to say a whole lot about it other than that it's incredible, beautiful, and the Oscar Isaac dance scene, long live. And yeah, this was sort of, I think this was probably, I can't remember if this was my introduction to Donald Gleason, or if I saw his Black Mirror episode where he's like the husband or whatever, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. He's like Haley Atwell's husband, right?
Yeah.
That's like one of the first Black Mirrors.
Yeah. I don't remember which one I saw first, but I was definitely like, that's the guy from either Ex Machina or that's the guy from Black Mirror. Depending on which one.
Yeah, he's also in True Grit. I don't know if you remember that. He pops up in that movie too. Yeah. True Grit and also the last Harry Potter movie, I want to say.
Whoa.
He plays one of Ron's brothers, the one that shows up at the very end.
Yeah, that tracks actually. Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, he's great in it, and Alicia Vikander is great in it, and yeah, it's about Domhnall Gleeson is like this coder that works at this big, you know, kind of Twitter, Facebook, Meta, whatever,
right.
tech business thing, and he wins the chance to like spend the weekend at the company owner's compound, basically, and it's got that like amazing line. I remember watching a video on, I think it was, oh shit, I forget the name of the YouTube channel. It was all about screenplays, but there's like a edited version, like the original version of the helicopter ride to this movie is like a whole 5-minute conversation.
Oh wow.
And they cut it out to just be that one moment, the exchange where he asks like, oh, when are we gonna get there? And he's like, son, we've been flying over his property for 2 hours or whatever it is. Like, it's just that one line that just tells you everything you need to know about the Oscar Isaac character.
Yeah.
And the big twist is it turns out that hasn't really won the chance to do anything there. He's being brought there with a purpose to perform the Turing test, basically, with Alicia Vikander's cyborg robot, Ava. And it's just kind of the perils therein about AI and robots and making them too human-like and all the weird shit that entails. And then, of course, you know, twisty-turny, scary things happen towards the end, and it's fun. And yeah, I remember when this came out, it kind of blew my mind, especially I think the prosthetics and like visual effects of Ava for Alicia Vikander looked like incredible, that it was like kind of one of the first times where I was like, this is pretty hard to distinguish between, you know, like what part of this is prosthetic and visual effects and stuff. So yeah, Ex Machina, my number four internet movie.
I think it counts. I mean, I think it's good to have an AI movie in here. I think that's like a helpful thing, especially that's obviously a huge part of the internet and you have people working on that in real life and you have sort of AI in your phone. I mean, you have Siri and stuff like that.
Right.
That exists. Like, we have it. And I do have an AI movie in my list later on that I will reveal later. It's not Ex Machina and it's not AI. Which AI rules. I'm just going to throw out. I've joined the camp of like AI being like a top five Spielberg movie.
I think that's a hot take, right?
It's a little bit of a hot take. Yeah.
Okay.
I've joined the camp of it being a top five Spielberg, and I shan't hear any difference. It's true.
The official stance here at Mike and Mike Pod.
We love AI here. Do you like AI, Mike? Is that
I've seen it once when it came out, and I don't remember anything about it.
Okay, fair. I mean, I feel like, I mean, when it came out, you might have been like 9 or 10.
Yes, correct. So I was like, this is a lot. And I don't remember.
that's a lot for a 10-year-old to take in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should watch it again now. I think it's a really beautiful movie and like a weird marriage of Spielberg and Kubrick.
I was going to ask, isn't that the Kubrick movie also or something, right?
It's the one that Kubrick was working on before he died and then Spielberg finished it, like when died. And so, yeah, a weird like marriage of two styles that don't seem like they should work together. Like, that seems like a clash, you know,
yeah,
those two guys. But I think it's a really beautiful movie. But so yeah, AI, I'll throw it in as an honorable mention. Let's get it in there. But yeah, so Ex Machina, Mike's number four, great choice. And then my number four is from 2018. This is a movie that I feel like was pretty slept on when it came out. And I think a lot of the people who saw it didn't like it. I thought it was great. Actually made my top 10 of that year of 2018, and that movie is Assassination Nation.
Ready? Yeah.
Oh my god, I love this song.
What song?
This song.
Give me all your venom, yeah, I love that shit.
Give it to me good and no, I won't get sick.
I heard there was a party at Greenwald's tonight.
Can you imagine if any of this got out?
Are you guys seeing this right now?
Half of Salem just got hacked.
Do you think this is a game?
Who was it?
Lily Coulson.
Why would he say that? That's not true.
You're lying.
Whoa.
Which this is written and directed by Sam Levinson, who is the creator of Euphoria.
Yes.
Which is a show that I have not watched. I know that everybody who watches Euphoria hates him. Hates him specifically, I think, because most of the people who watch it are teenagers who are upset that season two wasn't as good as season one or something.
That seems fair, yeah.
Something along those lines. Again, I have not been paying too much attention to that. Maybe he said something like mean or something. I have no idea. But Assassination Nation, it's really good. This is a movie about this town that gets kind of thrown into turmoil after everybody in a high school gets hacked. And all of their private information just gets leaked out onto the internet. And so all the private texts and emails and everything, everybody can see everything that everyone's been saying about each other. And
perfect.
So naturally, the entire town turns into a war zone. just literal, like, people are, like, throwing, like, you know, Molotov cocktails at people and all that kind of stuff. The movie goes to some insane places, and it is genuinely, I think, a very solid encapsulation of, like, yeah, this is kind of like the times that we live in. Maybe like more of an escalated version of it, but like if the internet was, it's sort of like if the internet took place in real life, like if this,
right.
if the conversations you see on Twitter were happening in real life, like this is how it would go down.
Yeah.
You know? And so I really enjoyed Assassination Nation. Like, I haven't seen it since it came out, but I really, really dug it. And I think it just has a very dark, fun sense of humor that I really enjoyed. I have not seen anything else Sam Levinson has done. Again, I have not watched Euphoria. I've been like thinking about getting into it, but it just seems like a lot of work at this point. And
yeah.
Then he had a movie last year, the Netflix movie, Malcolm and Marie, which I heard was bad. But Assassination Nation, I really enjoyed. So I'm throwing it out there as my number four pick for my Let's Rank Internet Movies.
I like it. Yeah, I've heard you talk about that before, and I kind of forgot all about it. I think it is just one of those, you know, dumped on Netflix. Like, you know, is it like Bella Thorne is in it, right?
I believe so. Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. It might have been on Netflix. I saw it in a theater, and I believe I was the only one in that theater.
Right. It's around on a streaming somewhere because I'm sure it is. Looking for these movies, you know, looking for recommendations to watch for this list.
Right.
And yeah, kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, there you go. Assassination Nation is my number four. Mike, what's your number three?
My number three is a little bit of a stretch as well, because what is a computer if not a machine? So my number three movie is from 1989, directed by Shinya Sakamoto. That is Tetsuo, the Iron Man.
Okay.
So I bought a box set from Arrow they put out of Sakamoto's movies. I forget how many, like maybe four or five. And it's like Tetsuo 1, 2, a couple other things in there. And I've been meaning to crack it open for a while. And I was like, well, we're doing technology, quote unquote.
Sure.
I'm just going to get more and more abstract for each movie. technology.
This is a movie about a rock.
Yeah, it's just the rock section. The rock section of Everything All at Once is my number one. So I've been meaning to watch this, and I finally did. And man, what a picture! Because it's incredible. It's 65 minutes. Forget, get out of here, chopping mall cut. You're gone.
We need the Tetsuo cut.
Yeah, we need the Tetsuo cut. And it's so interesting to watch this basically dialogue-less movie that's about this guy who's called the metal fetishist at the beginning of the movie, is like cramming rebars and shit into his body because he's, you know, all obsessed with metal. And he runs out into the street in like a panic and gets run over by the salary man, hit by his car, which the car is filmed like just straight up pornography. Like it's the soundtrack changes and it's just like waka waka waka, you know, like real sexy slow-mo pans across the metal grill and like all this crazy shit, and it's 45 seconds into the movie and I'm like, okay, all right, hold on.
I need to take a breather from this.
Yeah, wait a second. And in this moment of like transference and collision, the salary man gets this piece of metal in him, and then when he's shaving the next morning, it's like growing out of his beard, and he's just like slowly over the course of, well, slowly, in as fast-paced as this movie is, begins to become more and more machine and metal, and is a extended drill dick sequence, which is pretty crazy. Yep. And yeah, I don't know, just the meditation on, you know, the kind of, which is nuts for 1989. Like, think about how far and how much more integrated into technology and everything we are now to have this impulse in 1989, where it's like we're literally melding and becoming and turning into pieces of technology ourselves. And now at every second of every day, we all have cameras and computers and everything in our pockets and our hands. We're constantly looking at them. So it's wild to see, like, kind of like how prophetic that this movie is. And also just like assaultive, I think, is like the type of filmmaking this is. It's constantly changing like frame rates and like point of views and stop motion and everything going on all the time, constantly, forever in this movie. There's extended sequences which are very fun to watch or fun to think about now, where it's just guys, you know, chasing each other, but they're just in one pose, like stop motion, one frame, chasing each other across the city for long sequences. But at the time, you're just like, I don't know if I could process this visually. It was just very aggressive, but in a interesting artiste way, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, Tetsuo the Iron Man, my number three technology movie.
Nice. I watched this, I think it was about a year ago, I guess, because the Roxy for Trash Vault, they were showing Tetsuo 2, Iron Hammer, or like Hammer Man, or whatever.
Body Hammer or something?
Body Hammer, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And so we were showing Tetsuo 2, and I was like, well, that sounds pretty cool. I should watch Tetsuo the Iron Man. And so I watched Tetsuo the night before I watched Tetsuo 2. And Tetsuo the Iron Man, like you said, it's an assaultive experience. It really reminded me of watching Eraserhead for the first time or something like that. Just like something weird and experimental. And I do like the first one a lot more than the second one.
Interesting.
Say that. And the second one's fun too, but the first one is just like such a really weird, interesting movie. And I think the Tetsuo 2 is just like, what if it's the same thing, but like longer and a little bit like quieter? I don't know. Tetsuo 1, the Iron Man, is like really good. And yeah, high recommend on that one. So great choice for your number three.
And I like too the kind of like guerrilla aspect of it. Like, it feels like, I think Shinya Sakamoto is the salaryman or the iron the metal fetishist. I forget. He's one of the main characters, like one of the three people in the movie is the director, is what I'm saying. That it feels like him and his friends were like, hey, we scraped together $500. You want to go make a movie? but the prosthetics and stuff of all the metal look amazing. They look better than a lot of shit does now in like full budget movies, which is crazy. So yeah, anyway, Tetsuo the Iron Man.
Nice. Tetsuo the Iron Man is Mike's number three. My number three is a little bit more palatable to a mainstream audience, I think. Mm. I mean, it's an indie movie. It's a quirky little indie comedy drama called Me and You and Everyone We Know.
If you really love me, then let's make a vow. Repeat after me. I'm gonna be free. I'm gonna be free. Now let's kiss to make it real, okay? Okay.
Objectively speaking, if you weren't my children, would you think that guy looks okay?
Are you mad at us?
Yeah, totally. I think you look good.
Okay, good.
Did you want to try these on?
No.
So those are comfortable?
They kind of rub my ankles, but all shoes do that.
You think you deserve that pain, but you don't.
I want to be swept off my feet, you know? I want my children to have magical powers. I am prepared for amazing things to happen.
I've been watching you, and I love it.
Family lives in one of those little apartments.
My mom lives somewhere else.
You should get a hide a bed. During the day it's a couch, but at night it folds out into a comfortable queen-sized bed.
How'd you do that?
You want the long version or the short version?
The long one.
I was trying to save my life and it didn't work.
I've been meaning to see this for so long.
This movie is very good, Mike. This is written and directed by Miranda July, who also stars in the movie with John Hawks. And it's just about a couple of broken people trying to make sense of this crazy world that we live in, Mike, with, you know, fun, little quirky humor. But a big chunk of the movie is about these two kids who are spending a lot of time in this online chat room messaging with somebody, messaging with an adult woman. They don't realize like who's on the other line, who's on the other side. Like this was back like, you know, pre-Twitter, pre-MySpace, like this is 2005. So it really is just like, you know, an AIM chat room, like a chat room kind of thing. And it's just, you know, you're just using your username and text and that's it, you know? And like, so nobody knows who's on the other side of that conversation. And it's sort of about kind of the beautiful ways the internet can bring people together. Well, at the same time, it's like an adult woman messaging these children, like not realizing.
Yeah, right.
So it makes for some very funny moments and like some genuinely sort of weirdly profound moments. You know, there's a bit where this kid makes this like emoticon and his brother's like, what's this emoticon supposed to be? And this kid goes into like this really long monologue because the emoticon is like these like, you know, two diamond shaped things like kind of pointing this way. And it basically, it's like it's two people's butts touching and like pooping back and forth together forever. And it's such a like gross idea and image, but it turns into this like really beautiful poetic moment in the movie. And so yeah, Me and You and Everyone We Know. It's a movie I really enjoyed watching for the first time a little while ago, and it was on the Criterion Channel. I don't know if it is anymore, but yeah, definitely recommend checking this out. This movie's great.
Yeah, the pooping back and forth forever thing is the only thing I know about this movie.
I
think there's a Criterion Blu-ray of it. I think it like is officially in the collection, which is pretty neat. And yeah, I've been meaning to get to it, and I just never did.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And early John Hawkes, which is pretty cool too. Me and my roommate back in the day were like really into John Hawkes for a while. Like I don't know what it was. I think because he was in Winter's Bone, right? That was like kind of a big thing. And so he was a big fan of Winter's Bone, and I was like, yeah, that movie is all right. But then we both saw Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, and we're like, this movie's incredible. John Hawkes is great. And there's like a scene where he's like playing the guitar, and we would like sing that song that he plays in the guitar every once in a while. And then yeah, I feel like John Hawkes is just like a dependable character actor who just randomly had like a moment in like 2010 where he popped up in a lot of things, like high profile stuff.
This guy, I'm looking up a picture of him.
John Hawkes, he's great. And in this movie, this was 2005, so it's a pretty early John Hawkes performance, and I think at this point it's like this and Deadwood.
Was he in Perfect Storm also?
It's possible. I actually have not seen Perfect Storm, Mike, if you want to add that to your list.
Okay.
Yeah, add that to your list. I mean, that would be a good one.
I don't know why I was so shocked by that. Sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it was an appropriate reaction. I think that's that's something I should have seen at some point. But yeah, Me and You and Everyone We Know is very, very good, and I think a solid internet movie. What are you laughing at?
Sorry, I opened up the list for the Make Mike Watch list, and the last thing I added on here was Brick Mansion. sorry to totally derail the conversation.
No, no.
You and Me and Everyone We Know or whatever sounds great.
Yes. Brick Mansions. One day I'm going to watch it. It's going to happen. I thought you were going to say the last thing you put it on there was The Perfect Storm.
No.
But all right. So my number three, Me and You and Everyone We Know. Mike, we're down to your number two. What is it?
My number two movie is actually another Japanese movie.
Okay.
This time from 2001. Directed by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, and that is Pulse.
Okay.
Yes. And it's interesting, too. Like, I think you kind of actually just touched on, you know, a non-genre film or a drama or whatever about the internet and technology. But I feel like sci-fi, horror, those movies, those genres generally tap into technology and our fear of it and, like,
yeah,
the potential damage or whatever we think it might be. And Pulse is absolutely about that movie. And it takes place, it's set in 2001. And I think these movies from this era, also like Tetsuo, the movies from, I don't know, the mid 2000s touch on such a interesting part of technology that I think is gone now, where it was analog, like, you know, TVs, monitors, they were fucking gigantic. They had literal tubes in them. They're just all little flat screens with nothing behind them. But there was a analog aspect to it, like, you know, a physical thing, like the metal fetishist putting the cables and stuff in his body.
Right.
And Pulse sort of touches on that also, or at least takes place in that era, where this is about a group of friends who are like waiting for their one friend to like return a disc. And they're talking about like floppy disks, you know, and like all that stuff. And one of them decides to just go to this guy's apartment because they haven't seen him in a couple days. And he's acting really like aloof and weird. And he's just kind of like, oh, yeah, it's on the desk. And she goes over and there's just like a huge pile of floppy disks and she's trying to like sort through and she can't find them. And he just kind of like walks off screen down a hallway. And it's like a couple minutes where she's like looking and talking to him and he's not responding. And she's just like, what the hell? Fix your stuff, you know? And then she goes to look down the hallway into the room and he has hanged himself while she's there in the apartment. And this is like the first 5 minutes and you're like, holy shit. And then it's about the kind of like grief that rips through that friend group a little bit and that person's shock of having discovered him like that. And then it becomes, what if the internet's haunted, basically, is the kind of moral of the story from there, where it's sort of this friend group and them sort of dealing with this trauma. And this guy, one of the guys in the friend group, is seeing like shadows on the wall. And I think, you know, this might be a stretch, but it's sort of the shadows kind of look like the like atomic scorch marks, you know, from like a nuclear blast where like it's an outline of a person on the wall. So it's sort of reminiscent of that. And he keeps seeing them more and more places and he doesn't really know what's going on. Well, also there's this guy that's like kind of this bumbling idiot dude that doesn't know how computers work. And he's like getting on the internet for the first time. Like, and it's like a whole section that I was like actually laughing pretty hard at myself for, because it's sort of like the screen share movies or whatever, where it's just we're showing his screen and he's moving his mouse around and we're just watching what he's doing. But it's all in Japanese, obviously the text. So like, I don't know what was going on.
Right.
Because they're not going to subtitle the whole page. Right. So that was pretty funny. But his computer sort of like on its own, he doesn't really know what he's doing, like winds up on this web page where it's sort of like webcam footage of people in these really dark and grungy. And it's like sort of what we would see with like the torture porn stuff, where it's kind of like live footage, quote unquote, of like executions maybe, or suicides, just like really gross gore stuff that we would see years later on the internet,
right.
You know, like on Live Leak and shit like that. And he's very disturbed by it. And then these two plot lines converge eventually. And then, yeah, it sort of is about like ghosts reaching out through the internet to the physical world to affect humans and like cause pain and suffering because they're so lonely in the afterlife, kind of thing. But it's all through the internet and technology and that weird 2001, you know, cathode ray tube monitor aesthetic, you know? And it's really fucking, it's intense and scary and weird and, you know, Japanese techno horror from 2001.
Nice.
If you know what those things are, it's Pulse.
All right. Yeah, I've never seen Pulse, and this sounds awesome. We talked about last year Cure by Kiyoshi Kurosawa,
right?
Which is a movie we both really liked. So yeah, I want to check this out. It sounds great.
Yeah, and it does this really cool thing. I forgot that it was the guy that made Cure. It's all making sense now. It does this really like unsettling thing where it'll be two characters having a conversation in a room, you know, and it does the thing that we love, you know, where it's like medium shot. We're going to let these two characters talk and we're not going to be cutting back and forth between close up and close up. And one of the characters will like walk off. So like this conversation will still be going on and the character will walk off screen and it'll just stay on the one guy for like an extra, like, you know, 10, 15 seconds and only watching him before the camera will turn and show you what the other person's doing. And they're never really doing anything like horrific or anything like that. But just that knowing somebody's doing something else in another room after those first 5 minutes where you're like, what's going on? Like, you know, and it's just, it's a slow, unsettling tension that builds and builds just through the filmmaking, you know?
Nice. That's awesome. All right. So that's Pulse by Kiyoshi Kurosawa. Mike's number two. And then my number two is from 2013 from director Spike Jones. It's Her.
Mr. Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't been social in a while.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother? Thank you. Please wait as your operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
You're too funny.
Okay, good. I'm funny. I want to learn everything about everything.
I love the way you look at the world.
How long before you're ready to date?
What do you mean?
I saw in your emails that you'd gone through a breakup.
Well, you're kind of nosy.
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody? How are you?
I guess I've just been having fun.
You really deserve that.
It's been a long time since I've been with somebody that I felt totally at ease with.
What's it like to be alive in that room right now?
I wish I put my arms around you. I wish I could touch you.
How would you touch me?
Which is a movie that I really liked when it came out, and I think I saw it again maybe like a couple of years later, and I was like, man, this movie is great. This is terrific. Spike Jonze wrote and directed this movie, which stars Joaquin Phoenix in like sort of a near future situation. He's a guy who works at a greeting card company and like just comes up with like slogans for greeting cards to like send out to people. And he like ends up getting a new AI installed in his home. Like it's a world where like AI controls like every aspect of your life, essentially. Like it's your phone, your home, your TV, like everything, which we kind of have now. That's like a thing that exists at this point. But he gets this new AI played by Scarlett Johansson, and he begins to fall in love with his AI. And everybody around him is like, this is kind of weird, man. this is a weird thing. But it like the movie itself treats it with this like very soft human touch. And like it's a very tender love story between Joaquin Phoenix and this AI played by Scarlett Johansson. And it is really terrific. It's often very funny. It's often very heartbreaking. And, you know, it kind of deals with it's sort of this relationship that people have to technology where they like fall more in love with like the people on the internet, like that kind of relationship you have on Twitter that you can kind of get sucked into that social media zone more so than the people that are in your actual life. And I think with her, it's kind of going further with that, where he's like literally in love with his computer and his computer loves him back and they are in a relationship.
Wow.
You know, and you know, ultimately it because of obvious reasons, it doesn't end the way that it doesn't end happily for them. You know? But, and so it ends with their breakup because the AI is so advanced and so intelligent that she wants to, you know, see more of the world, like kind of get out there and, you know, be with other AIs or, you know, whatever. Yeah. But this movie's terrific. I really enjoyed her. Have you seen her, Mike?
I have not, actually.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I don't really know why. I just never got around to it. And I don't know if it was like perceived like cringe thing where it was like, this feels very uncomfortable and weird. But knowing that it sort of handles it like not in a, or like a, in a human way, like you said, that sounds more interesting than what I thought this movie might be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's a Spike Jonze movie, of course. It's the last narrative film that Spike Jonze has directed, which seems crazy. Seems like he should have made another movie by now. But, of course, director being John Malkovich and adaptation and all that stuff. I remember when the movie came out, too, my mom was, like, very alienated by the concept of her. It's like, a guy falls in love with his computer? It's scandalous. You know, and now I feel like if her came out, like, today, I feel like it would be like it was pretty well accepted at the time. Like it was nominated for Oscars and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would stand out less, I guess. Like it felt more unique at the time. And I think if it came out today, it'd be like, oh yeah, no, this is just how the world is. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that tracks. I think it would be, yeah, I just gotta watch it.
Yeah, you should. It's very good. So yeah, Her is my number two movie about the internet. And Mike, we're down to our final picks. What is your number one?
My number one movie is quote unquote about the internet. And that's the Matrix.
A dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real. What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
What is happening to me?
The answer is out there, Neo. It's the question that drives us.
What is the Matrix?
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
They're watching you, Neo.
Human beings are a disease. You are a cancer of this planet. And we are the cure.
Get me the hell out of here!
Welcome
to the real world.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. That's a good pick.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how much the internet, especially the way we see it today, or the way we, you know, interface with it today, is part of this movie. But it's obviously about technology and the AI and everything. And we did a whole Matrix retrospective. What was your cool title for it?
Matrix Retrospectives.
The Matrix Retrospectives.
You know, like Reloaded, Resurrections, or Revolutions, Resurrections, Retrospectives.
Yeah. Retrospectives. Last holiday season, whatever that, I think that was in Christmas. When we do that?
Yeah, I mean, the movie came out around Christmas time, so it was probably like a month earlier. It was like November, right. Probably. Yeah.
So if you want to hear our full thoughts on all of the Matrix things, listen to that.
Yes. Spoiler, they all rule.
They all fucking rule, even Reloaded and Revolutions.
Yes.
Radical. But yeah, I mean, it's all about obviously technology and its effect on the earth and society and the eventual destruction of those things. And then, of course, being fed back by technology itself, the ideal version of what we think the world should be, which is kind of the whole social media shtick, right? Like everybody's right. Got two versions of yourself, the one you project on the internet, on social media, to the public, and then the one that you actually are in person, which is kind of also, you know, ties into the whole parasocial relationship thing that we've talked about in a couple of these movies. So yeah, I mean, it's the Matrix. What more do you need to say?
Yeah, I mean, we have our own Matrix today, known as the Metaverse.
Oh, God. We're so close. Soon there will be legs.
Yeah, exactly. We're just one step away from the Matrix itself. It's just legs. Yeah, no, I think the Matrix is a great pick. It's obviously, I think, a pretty fairly huge internet movie. Mm-hmm. And it did not make my list, but not because I don't like it, because obviously I'm on record as being a huge fan of the Matrix, but because I didn't think about it, because this is such a broad category. Like, we each had five movies. There was no overlap in either of our lists.
True.
And I think we each took movies about the internet to mean different things.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Our interpretation of what technology, internet, computers, machine, robots might be, you know?
Yes. Absolutely. But all right, so The Matrix is your number one movie about the internet, which is a great choice. And yeah, I highly recommend watching The Matrix if you haven't. And also, Matrix sequels, all good.
All good. Yeah, it was pretty funny because I was just thinking, like, man, who probably hasn't seen The Matrix yet? But one of the top reviews on Letterboxd is, "Bitch, I'm 20 years late and I'm shook." So there's people out there.
Yes. You know who you are. You've been living with the shame of not having seen The Matrix for so long. It's time to watch it.
Correct. Go for it.
All right. And then my number one movie about the internet, I thought this was kind of an obvious one, but it didn't make your list. And that is The Social Network from 2010.
I need to do something substantial in order to get the attention of the clubs.
Why?
Because they're exclusive and fun and they lead to a better life.
People want to go on the internet and check out their friends, so why not build a website that offers that? Friends, pictures, profiles. I'm talking about taking the entire social experience of college and putting it online.
The site got 2,200 hits within 2 hours.
1,000. 22,000.
This idea is potentially worth millions of dollars.
Millions?
You stole our website.
They're saying we stole the Facebook.
I know what it says.
So did we?
$1 million isn't cool. You know what's cool? $1 billion.
You're going to get left behind. It's moving faster than any of us ever imagined.
Get left behind.
Let's sue him in federal court.
I can't wait to stand over your shoulder and watch you write as a check.
If you guys were the inventors of Facebook, you'd have invented Facebook.
Is there anything that you need to tell me?
Your actions could have permanently destroyed everything I've been working on.
We have been working on.
Did you like being a joke? Do you want to go back to that?
Mark!
This is our time.
Being accused of intentionally breaching security, violating copyrights, violating individual privacy.
Your best friend is suing you for $600 million.
As for the charges, I believe I deserve some recognition from this board.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Which part?
It's in my honorable mentions, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Of course, directed by David Fincher. This might be my favorite David Fincher movie. It goes back and forth between this and Zodiac for me, basically, because both are just excellent, I think. But, of course, written by Aaron Sorkin, directed by David Fincher, and I was rewatching a couple of clips from The Social Network before we came online, and I was like, man, what a movie.
What a movie. I gotta watch this again.
Yeah, this movie's terrific. It's such a funny, fast-paced retelling of course, the founding of Facebook with Mark Zuckerberg and Eduardo Saverin and the Winklevoss brothers. You got Jesse Eisenberg playing Mark Zuckerberg, which is perfect casting. Andrew Garfield as Eduardo, which I think this is the first time I ever saw him in a movie, and he's like unbelievable in it. He's really terrific. You also have Armie Hammer as the two Winklevosses, which like, okay, you know, he's, you know, all the stuff about him today. But at the time, he's great in this movie. He's like really fun.
Yeah.
And he plays both. And like, look at he weirdly like creates two separate but similar characters. And like, there's just so many funny moments with like dunking on the Winklevosses throughout the movie, which I really enjoy. But this movie, when it came out around the same time as Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is a movie I also considered for this. But I ultimately was like, it's more video games than internet, really.
Yeah.
It's, you know, splitting hairs. But yeah, I remember they both came out like around the same time in 2010. I think Scott Pilgrim was in August and Social Network was in October or whatever. They were my number one and two of the year. Scott Pilgrim was my one, Social Network was my two of 2010. And I think that would still hold today. You know, I was like 17 when these movies they came out. But I remember very distinctly thinking that these two movies like really represented like both sides of like the same generation, where Scott Pilgrim is like the half of the generation that like grew up to like mostly be slackers and like hang out and like just chill at like, you know, bands and stuff. And then the other half of the generation is the Social Network, which is just like furiously typing at their computers, like trying to create the next big thing. It's like the ambitious versus the non-ambitious sides of my generation kind of yeah. thing, you know? And so the Social Network is obviously about Mark Zuckerberg, and it's before all the really bad stuff about Facebook started happening. So it's, it's also still like, I think a pretty damning portrait of Mark Zuckerberg too. I think it's a movie that does not really paint him in a positive light at all, and is very upfront about the actual history of Facebook, which is that it originally began as a way to rank hot girls at Harvard. Like, you know, that was like the thing. That's how it started. And the way the movie cross cuts between the past and sort of the present, where it's like showing you the history of how they all came together, but then it's like cutting back and forth between that and the depositions of like the lawsuits that he had to deal with Eduardo and with the Winklevosses. Yeah, I really love The Social Network. I think it's one of my favorite movies of the decade. I think I may have like placed it in our top 10 of the decade list that we did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, this movie rules. I recommend.
Yeah, this is one that I have to go back to and try out again. I mean, I remember really liking it, and I've seen it a few times, but I haven't seen it in a couple of years now at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm so just averse to anything that may give Mark Zuckerberg any kind of credit that I feel like I've created backlash to this movie in my head. that it's not just like a complete and utter takedown of him is not enough for me. I gotta go back and like give it its due and see how I feel about it.
I mean, I think it's meant to be just a fairly objective look at like this
he
guy
doesn't
who
deserve
is...
that is what I'm saying. So that's right. Why I yeah
but it, right. But in 2010 it's a little
I don't
different,
give a shit, know? No I know, that's why I'm like, this is it's unreasonable for me to feel this way, so I need to go back and give this movie another shot.
Right. I mean, no matter what, like throughout the movie he is like an asshole through and through, and like other characters call him out as being an asshole the entire time.
The first time I saw Rooney Mara, probably, is scene when she says that to him.
Yes, yeah. And one of my favorite lines in that movie, too, is in that scene where there's going back and forth, and she breaks up with him. And it's like, wait, why are you breaking up with me? And she's like, because you're exhausting. Dating you is like dating a Stairmaster.
Yeah. The YouTube channel that I was trying to remember before is called Lessons from the Screenplay.
Okay.
There's an Ex Machina episode. There's also an episode, I think, on that scene in Social Network.
Nice.
And that's it all. It's all coming back together now.
Yes. Yeah. And absolutely. But, I mean, Social Network ends with, you know, obviously Mark Zuckerberg is rich beyond his wildest dreams and stuff, but he's like still like disillusioned and sad and like, you know, just a pathetic guy who like wants his girlfriend to respond to his friend request on Facebook. Right.
That's right.
It ends with him like just refreshing the page over and over again. Like it's not a positive portrayal of Mark Zuckerberg.
Fair.
But I remember when the movie was coming out and, you know, it was 17 or whatever, so I was kind of like just learning who David Fincher was, who Aaron Sorkin was, and all that stuff. So I didn't really know the pedigree behind the movie as much. But when it was coming out, it's like they're making a movie about Facebook. Like I didn't even have Facebook at the time.
What?
I don't think. Yeah, like I said, I was a pretty late adopter to to that kind of stuff.
No wonder you still don't have an ad blocker on your computer, Mike.
Exactly.
My God.
I was out with my girlfriend the other day, and I went to go pay for something with my card, and I couldn't find like the slot to put my chip in.
Yeah.
And I was like kind of just hitting the thing with my card for like a couple of seconds, and she was like, "There's a swiper. You have to swipe it." It's like you're like dating an old man.
Okay, Grandpa Mike. It's oh man. Okay, Grandma, let's get you to bed. That's you.
Basically, yeah. I've always been a late adopter, but I was a late adopter to this stuff, not because I was technologically bad, although I was, but mostly because I was just always like, this is stupid. I don't want to be a part of this.
Correct.
And then eventually everybody I knew was on it. And it's like, all right, I guess I'll get it.
I guess fine.
But yeah, so The Social Network, I think, is terrific. And it did make me, but at the time, it was like, movie of Facebook, whatever. And yeah. I kind of think back and like, it's really lucky that we got like an Aaron Sorkin scripted, David Fincher directed, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross scored. Like, you know, like, there's so much great stuff. That was their first movie score, too, and they killed it.
Wow.
Yeah, like everything about The Social Network is just like firing at all cylinders. And I just like think about like, man, how lucky it was that we got that movie and not just like some like really shitty Lifetime movie or whatever. Like, you know, there was the Steve Jobs movie a couple of years later, not the one that Sorkin did, although he also did a Steve Jobs movie. But there
was thinking about this.
Yeah, there was an Ashton Kutcher Jobs movie that was like basically made because people was like, whoa, Ashton Kutcher looks a lot like young Steve Jobs. Like, and that was like just like that's the only reason that movie exists.
Yeah.
And then the Sorkin one that Danny Boyle directed came out a couple years later with Michael Fassbender's Jobs. And I mean, you know, mileage may vary, but I like that movie quite a bit. It's not a Social Network, but it's pretty good. but yeah, I was just like, oh yeah, Ashton Kutcher did a Steve Jobs movie. Like, weird. But like, we could have had that for The Social Network instead, you know?
Right. Were they, was the two Jobs movies, were they like close to each other? They were.
Oh
right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the one that Ashton Kutcher was in was just called Jobs, and I believe that was 2013. Steve Jobs, the full version, was 2015. So it was 2 years apart.
Okay.
So a little bit of time, but like not nearly enough for it to be like, why are we have two dueling Steve Jobs movies that are coming out? Super weird. Which, I mean, it happens once in a while. Wasn't there there was a two Hitchcock movies that came out around the same time too? Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
One with Toby Jones.
Yes.
And one with Anthony Hopkins.
Right.
And one was like The Making of Psycho, and one was The Making of the Birds or something like that.
Bizarre.
There was also like the Capote thing was a similar situation, right?
That damn Toby Jones.
Yeah, Toby Jones at it again. We could have had a Toby Jones Mark Zuckerberg.
Although, that sounds pretty cool.
That does sound pretty good, actually. but yeah, but it does make me wonder, like, just like, you know, all the events that like, you know, even just like the past few weeks of Twitter, like that this seems like something that like theoretically could be like a Social Network caliber movie, but there's almost no chance it's going to be as good as like The Social Network.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I could see like a movie version of like the past few weeks trying to get off the ground at some point, and it'll probably be bad.
So, probably. And we won't hear about it on Twitter.
No, we will not. but there you go. So that is my list, my top five. You want to run down our fives again before we get into our honorable mentions, Mike?
Yes. My number five was Cam. My number four was Ex Machina. Number three was Tetsuo the Iron Man. Number two was Pulse. And number one was The Matrix.
All right. My number five was Searching. My number four was Assassination Nation. My number three was Me and You and Everyone We Know. My number two was Her. And my number one was The Social Network. So what are your honorable mentions, Mike? Any movies you want to give a shout out to?
Well, I had Social Network in there. That was one of the first ones that I like, oh, we're going to do this. Let me throw this on the list.
Like I said, an obvious choice, but it's like just top of the mind. Like, well, if you think about the internet, Social Network movies.
Social Network. Yeah. But then I was like, no. I moved it down as I added more things on there. Host on Shudder.
Yeah, which you're a big fan of, yeah.
Big fan of that movie, yeah. It's just the Zoom horror movie coming in at like a tight 58 minutes or whatever it was, which is a lot of fun. They had another movie, that whole like crew, I think it's out or is supposed to come out. called Dashcam. I don't really know what happened to that, so I don't know. Let's keep your eyes peeled for whatever Dashcam becomes available.
Okay.
I had Deadstream on here, which I just talked about recently a few times on the show, I think, so I won't spend much time on that. And then that was kind of really it as far as stuff that I thought of, but like every, like you said, every like movie that you talked about was like, oh yeah, like there's this is so broad and like, oh yeah, of course this thing. So yeah, it was fun to think about these for a little bit, watch a few of them for the first time. Nice. For this list.
Yeah, definitely. I had Cam in my honorable mentions, like I mentioned. I also mentioned that I had Kimmy in here.
Oh, yeah.
Kimmy is the new Steven Soderbergh movie, which came out earlier this year, starring Zoe Kravitz, which is basically just like an update of The Conversation for the internet age. Zoe Kravitz plays this girl who works for this tech company that runs like Kimmy, which is like this Alexa style, like, you know, speaker that you put in your house and like listens in on what you say and stuff. So she like listens in on people's conversations to kind of catch bugs in Kimmy and all that kind of stuff. And then thinks that she hears a murder and is trying to like kind of get to the bottom of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Movie rules. Yes. I think I just saw that Amazon like fired the Alexa division in real life. So like, that's fun. You know, that's neat.
So we've got that going for us too. Great.
Yeah, it's cool that all these tech companies have just thousands and thousands of jobs and now they're all in bad shape. So that's fun.
But yeah, so Kimmy is very good. It's on HBO Max right now, and highly recommend checking that out. Also wanted to mention Unfriended, which is a really good, solid horror movie. I never saw the sequel. I've heard less good things about it, but yeah, I'll check it out at some point, maybe. But Unfriended was good. I like that movie. Also wanted to mention Nerve, which was in 2016, and you know, it wasn't going to make my list or anything, but it's a fun movie where it's Dave Franco and Emma Roberts. And Emma Roberts plays this girl who isn't really on social media, I don't think. But everybody's kind of getting in on this new social media game called Nerve, where basically if you enter it, you have to complete a challenge and if you complete it and like record it and put it online, you get money. And she's like in desperate need of cash. She's like, fine, I'll do it. And like the challenges start to escalate from like, you know, one of them is like, okay, you know, go into that elevator. We'll give you $5 or whatever. And she gets $5. It's like, okay, now go into here and steal something, you know, and it's like $25. Like, and it just keeps like escalating from there. And until eventually they're like doing like death defying stunts, you know, trying to like escape parties, like on scaffoldings and all that kind of stuff. So it gets pretty wild. And it's a pretty fun time. And it's Emma Roberts and Dave Franco. And it's like, oh, this is a movie that I feel like was kind of slept on when it came out.
Yeah, I feel like I remember this, or I remember hearing about this, and then I haven't thought about it until this moment. Yeah. since then, you know?
I think I wanted to see it when it was in theaters, and I missed it. And then, like, a year later, like, a buddy of mine was like, oh, I just watched Nerve. It was pretty good. And it's like, oh, okay. And then, like, I just, it happened to be on TV, and I watched it. And it's like, oh, yeah, no, Nerve, pretty good. Solid
Look
stuff.
At Nerve.
So yeah, Nerve is good. And then also wanted to mention Eighth Grade, which is a really terrific movie from 2018, written and directed by Bo Burnham, about a girl who's in eighth grade in 2018. And obviously the internet's going to be a big part of that. And it is really about how the internet affects her life and how she has to live her life through the prism of the internet while trying to connect to her friends, which she doesn't really have any, trying to connect to people at school, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, Eighth Grade is terrific. High recommend on that.
Yeah. Yeah. The movie's great. And it features like one of the scariest, most tense, like five minutes in a movie I've seen in a long time. That was very good. And I don't know if you saw, there's a lot of clips of Bo Burnham from what looked like the like eighth grade, like press tour or something.
Oh yes. Yeah. Where he's talking about like kind of the monetization of the internet and the kind of capitalistic aspects of it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's like, damn, somebody that grew up on the internet is very smart about the internet.
Who knew?
Who knew, you know?
All right, so I think that's going to wrap things up for this week, Mike.
Yeah, so I hope you're all happy after last week where we gave you nothing. we had two pretty fun lists.
Yes, you lose. Good day, sir. You get nothing. Yes, so I think that was a pretty fun list, and next week we'll do something else. Not sure what yet.
Hopefully we remember.
Yeah. I think maybe some discussions at least for now, but no matter what, there will be something next week. We can guarantee that.
Well, can we? No, you're right. Yes, we will have an episode next week.
Exactly, yeah. All right, so Mike, where can we find you online this week?
For now, still, you can find me at MDFilmBlog on Twitter and Letterboxd. And if you'd like to donate to support the show, you could do that at our Ko-fi page, which is ko-fi.com/MikeAndMikePods. Plural, because we have two podcasts.
Yeah, somebody at work was asked me and a friend of the show, Mike Emmons, you know, how we can still justify being on Twitter after all this has gone down. And we were both just like, well, you know, I mean, you know, I'm still on Facebook, you know, for work and stuff. And, you know, Zuckerberg's evil too, like all that kind of stuff. And then we were both just like, really, the only socially, like ethically responsible social media platform is Letterboxd. It's the only.
Yes. Yes, correct.
At least as of right now. I mean, who knows, you know, what will happen in the future. But as of right now, Letterboxd, you're doing great. A plus.
Thumbs up.
All right. Yeah. You can find me online at M Smith Film Blog on Twitter, at Mike Smith Film on Letterboxd, and Radio Mike Sandwich on Instagram. Thanks so much for listening to Mike Go to the Movies. I'm Mike Smith. That's Mike's Cree Show. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app. And if you want to contact us, tweet at us at Mike and Mike Pod. We should really start setting up some other social media accounts for the podcast at the very least.
Let's just wing it.
We'll just see what happens. And you can find the rest of our podcast on Rapture Press alongside many other podcasts, but all kinds of comic books and movie news and all that good stuff. Next week, probably some discussions, but we'll see what happens. Maybe something else will come along.
Yeah, maybe inspiration will strike.
Exactly. You know, we'll be eating Thanksgiving dinner. I guess this episode will be out on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Play this for your family, I hope.
Gather around. Instead of listening to Alice's Restaurant this year,
yes.
What you should do is play this hour-plus podcast.
To hear us not talk about Thanksgiving.
Just sitting in hushed silence and listening to Mike and Mike Go to the Movies and us ranking movies about the internet.
Yes.
So this will be out on Thursday. In the meantime, we're going through every one of Michelle Yeoh's movies for the Complete Works. And this week, we released an episode on Tai Chi Master, which we were both very big fans of.
Yeah, surprise, sleeper hit for us. You know.
Yes, absolutely. All right, and that's the end of this week's episode of Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. We'll see you on the other side.